a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
So here is Springer. Merrifield's at first. He'll take off for second. No one holding him. There he goes. And there's a ground ball. Diving stop. Barcelona. And he flips to Duran. They win. 18 is enough. The Twins get a postseason win. And they lead the wild card series 1-0.
I don't know what it is, but there's something satisfying about hearing Michael Kay on a national baseball broadcast, probably inwardly seething, knowing that his New York Yankees aren't in the playoffs. But that, yesterday afternoon, was the Minnesota Twins snapping a 19-year, 18-game playoff losing streak to take down the Toronto Blue Jays in game one of a series, best of three, that'll determine who the Houston Astros play on Saturday in the ALDS. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Glad that we got the internet back today. That means we can hear from you on the text line. As Spencer Tillman said, 713-780-3776. You can call in at that same number. You can join us in our often toxic Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I'm hearing CJ Stroud film breakdown requests in the chat. Sorry, we're going to have to disappoint you today on that. You can also join on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. I'm very overreactionary when it comes to baseball. You come here for fun baseball talk, not for smart baseball talk, right? But I thought things seemed great from an Astros perspective yesterday in day one of the MLB playoffs. I watched most of the first game that we saw, where the Texas Rangers, a team that the Houston Astros have had a lot of success against this year, they were able to beat the 99-win Tampa Bay Rays, who of course had that amazing start to the year, and after that were a little bit closer to the rest of the pack. The Rays sucked. Oh my God. The Rangers beat them 4-1 despite leaving 13 guys on base and being 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. So it's not like the Texas Rangers all of a sudden woke from their recent funk that they ended the season on, perhaps hungover in the process. It was really the Tampa Bay Rays, or we should call them Devil Rays, wearing their weird Devil Rays throwbacks for some reason, which is dumb. You've made it to two World Series as the Rays. When you were the Devil Rays, you were the subject of jokes in a Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore movie called Fever Pitch, one of the worst sports movies ever. And in that, the only funny joke that was made was at the then Tampa Bay Devil Rays expense. I believe a character was forced to dance for Red Sox tickets, and they said, no, that's a Devil Rays dance. The Rays stunk. Four errors. They couldn't get to the Rangers bullpen, and when they got Aroldis Chapman, it wasn't batting practice. So, feel better about a potential matchup down the road. Say the Rays advance to the ALCS. They would have to beat the Orioles to do it. I feel better about a matchup with them. I already feel great about a matchup with the Texas Rangers. And then you take a look at the other bracket, again, the two teams that are playing for a chance to go up against the Astros starting this weekend in the ALDS. I told you yesterday that between the Blue Jays and the Twins, the Blue Jays are the team that I don't want the Astros to play. And I'm starting to change my mind on that a little bit. The Blue Jays are really the LA Chargers of baseball. They got cool unis, they got names you recognize, and they blow it. I didn't want to play them. I looked at the roster. I looked at their lineup, and I thought, I think this is better than that of the Minnesota Twins. But the Twins beat them. And the Twins beat them on a day where really only one guy hit. It is their super prospect that they called up in May against the Astros. He hit a home run in his first game. Royce Lewis. He hit not one, but two home runs. And that was enough for Minnesota to snap that 18-game postseason losing streak. And now a lot of people are thinking that Minnesota is going to win today. Sonny Gray, remember him from the Oakland A's? He's on the hill. All-star kind of year with Minnesota. Toronto, meanwhile, is starting Jose Berrios, who used to play for the Minnesota Twins. So I think most people are assuming there will be a Twins sweep later today. We will obviously see. You want that series to extend itself. That would make me feel even better as an Astros fan. But right now, I felt that things were great from an Astros fan perspective, day one of the baseball playoffs. Couple of comments here. 713-780-3776 to call. You can join on Twitch as well. twitch.tv/ESPN975. A couple of texts here. From the 361, this is Eric. On a lie detector, do you think Springer would have taken less to stay with the Astros? I imagine he has a little bit of FOMO. Here's the question that you ask back. Are the Astros better off without George Springer? Without that contract given to him, a guy who we love, but has missed a lot of time since joining there with injuries. Some more texts. 713-780-3776. There were like 14 people at that Rays game, but hey, they got a new stadium. Shout out to them. Another texter says Fever Pitch is a great baseball movie. That person has been blocked. Hey, it's our friend Tab calling in. Tab, what's going on, bud?
How about them Rangers?
It was a nice win, but Tab, I feel like the Rays lost that game more than the Rangers won it.
Okay, I'll give you that, but I got a question.
Yes?
In the total scheme of things, does it matter who won or who lost as long as our score is greater than theirs?
That is all that matters at the end of the day, Tab. As always, sometimes the simplest explanation is the way to go. Jordan Montgomery looked good. Aroldis Chapman didn't crap himself, and the Rays had four errors. So there you go.
Well, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I was Shaw sweating him.
As soon as he came in, honestly, I that's when I started paying real close attention to the game. Because I think the Devil Rays wearing the Devil Rays uniforms, they were just screwed from the get-go. But all of a sudden, I started hyper-focusing when I saw Aroldis Chapman warming up because I was thinking to myself, no offense, Tab, I do want the Rangers to lose. I thought to myself, okay, here comes the batting practice. And he actually got through that inning. The first at-bat was a little bit dicey. There were a lot of foul tips, but eventually he got out of the inning. And yeah, you guys are up 1-0. You got to be feeling pretty good about yourself.
Well, all we got to do is win one more, and they got to win both of them.
That is true. Tab, appreciate the phone call here. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Astros' chances based off of what I saw yesterday. And yesterday we did go a little, perhaps too hard with a bit, right? We're talking about heretics. We're talking about people who doubt the Houston Astros. I remembered something after the show. Did you know that I am an ordained minister? A lot of people don't know that, but Sean Mapes, get this. I am an ordained minister for the Church of Jeff Luno. You can find it online. I am the high tradesman of the Church of Jeff Luno. I did it as a bit for a Sports Map article back in 2019. It has not aged well, no. But I am an ordained minister.
No, what hasn't aged well about what we thought was Jeff Luno, a godlike figure, Jeff Luno.
There was a fall from grace.
Hmm.
But it might be because of the people who are out there to persecute Jeff Luno,
yeah.
Much like many other religious figures were persecuted.
Yeah, people hated Jeff Luno.
They did hate Jeff Luno. So I thought to myself, could I be a preacher for the Astros, seeing as I'm saying, hey, if you doubted them, you have a chance to confess by Saturday. And I started going down a rabbit hole. How many of you guys remember this viral local access television evangelist preacher who's very aggressive? Anyone else remember this guy? I don't know what his name is. If you've seen this video, you definitely remember, but I think I could be a preacher like this for the Church of Jeff Luno and for the Houston Astros. This is Spirit of Truth, if you want to watch.
Wait, you ain't talking, you ain't hearing me, huh? Get it again, okay, I'm going to say it again. I come in the name of Jesus. Repeat it after me, bitch. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, you know, ruler of heaven and earth and every God thing in between. You understand me now?
I love that guy. I also love that he said GD along the way. This is a video you have to check for yourself. It's Spirit of Truth. I think I can be this guy for the Houston Astros. He even takes phone callers. A caller called in and said that he talks with the devil, and this man, he was not having it.
Don, and it don't stop. Go ahead. Say what's that?
And it won't stop.
Say what? Say what? You trust in the devil, huh? Well, if God send the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, then motherfucker, you f***ed up, huh? You f***ed up, huh? You know your ass is doomed. What you got to speak? If you don't know to speak on this topic I'm bringing up, shut your goddamn ass up. Hell, you trust in hell, motherfucker, and you already in hell. Just like I trust in heaven and I'm already there, motherfucker.
I love it. And you know what, people? As the high tradesman from the Church of Jeff Luno, the man leading you on the great journey, me, right now, allowing you to come back in if you have ever doubted the Astros, Dusty Baker, Martin Maldonado, Jose Abreu at any point this year, Jeff Bagwell. I need like a towel to wipe some sweat away. Let me tell you something right now. This Astros team is going to the World Series. And if you ever have doubted in your life what this team can do, you, sir, are a heretic. You, sir, are going to hell. And we need to all be back on the Astros bandwagon. Because if you're not there right now, I don't want you showing up at my church. I don't want you buying a $50 El Tiempo margarita at Minute Maid Park. The Church of Jeff Luno will prevail. Those people trying to bring the Astros down, doubt the Astros down, doubting our fearless leader, Dusty Baker, they're going to hell. Martin Maldonado, they're going to hell as well, in a cell. And that's why, if you're an incel, you don't like the Astros. Now I'm just rhyming. I don't know what I'm saying.
What do you think they do when they go up there? Do you think they use some PEDs?
I haven't watched Righteous Gemstones yet, and I also don't want to draw any comparisons to evangelists in town, because again, like, you believe in what you believe. I also want to be let in, say a hurricane happens. I don't want to be on the like do not let in list, so I'm not going to slander specific ones, but I feel like we need an Astros preacher. I think I can be that guy, and Brian McTaggart is our prophet. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Up next, we'll take a look at some of this Mariners. Check that. We gotta make fun of the Mariners some more, because the Mariners, they just can't find a way out of the hell that they have put themselves in. And an all-time quote from their general manager makes me feel pretty good about the Astros' chances going forward in the AL West. First, though, did you know I'm also a cowboy in addition to being a preacher? That's right. You can be a cowboy too. You can put on a cowboy hat. You can put on some cowboy boots. Boot cut jeans too. Or you can grab yourself a glass of Pendleton whiskey. The Pendleton Roundup's defined what it means to be a cowboy for over a century. One of the oldest rodeos in North America, and it gave life to something equally renowned. That's Pendleton whiskey, which captures the unique spirit of being a cowboy, baby, and honors the enduring legacy of the American West. Did you know Pendleton whiskey is made with the finest northern grains? Wow. Cut with Mount Hood glacier water. It's so refreshing. It's not too sweet, smooth, and it's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. We are all cowboys. That's Pendleton whiskey. That's true Western tradition, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
Mr. Campbell, send out an amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? And the chair has done the amendment. Amendment is adopted.
Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
On the Twitch, twitch.tv/Gallant says, we did have our friend Tab call in again today. Poor Marine comments, Tab, I'm worried for you, man. Your lane departure warnings are going off while he is drunk driving. Okay, we can't assume the latter. We cannot. But that is the second day in a row, Sean, that we have heard some sort of beeping in the background. Do we know what he's doing? Is he just driving? Is he getting out of his car when he makes these calls?
Yeah, I imagine maybe driving either with a seatbelt off or...
Oh, he's one of
I don't know
those.
What else beeps.
Click it or ticket, Sean.
Agreed. I've also seen those signs. Yeah, that's about all I can think of that would be beeping like while you're driving. You know, like the tire pressure would go off once, you know?
Right. Check
when
engine
you first
light
start.
Yeah, doesn't make a noise.
And it's when you first start your car.
Yeah.
It's not going to be prolonged as you're on the highway.
You guys are mean to Tab. We like Tab. Virginia Bunweed. Tab is a greeter at Walmart. That's the front door beeping. Come on. He's not going to call while he's on the clock.
Yeah, no. He's way more professional than that.
Walmart is very professional, too. Right? I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah. I was trying to give Tab some credit. I'm not trying to give Walmart
no,
credit.
Tab shops at Target. Tab is a man of taste. What? Target's great. Target's
no,
way better
no,
than
they
Walmart.
They didn't say he shopped at Walmart. They said he worked at Walmart.
Oh, well, again, I think he would, if he had to work at one of those places.
He's in a red polo shirt
no,
and khakis.
I think he's a step above them both, Sean. I think he works at a Costco. Some Costco employees make more than I make. Hashtag kill me.
You want to get sad? Look at the Bucky's
pay oh, no,
thing.
I don't want to look at that.
You want to get really sad?
Waffle House, look at their their salary and benefit options. Though at a Waffle House, you might have to kill someone.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Hazard pay.
You really earn that money because you're going to have to drop the gloves at some point. They probably,
just once.
They probably make more per fight than UFC fighters do.
That's true.
They probably make more.
But the real money's as a preacher. The real money, Sean, is as a preacher.
I've often said that.
I think I can drift into this. Do you not think I have the gravitas, the stamina to be one? Based off of what you heard at the end of the last segment.
I mean, a lot of these guys don't have that much gravitas, so I think a fresh new face coming in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, they've kind of been in the game for a while. They kind of are falling asleep up there. They're all 60, 70 years old. You're new ball of energy.
Yeah, and look, I'm not a cake eater, an elitist like Kenneth Copeland. This is my favorite preacher clip of all time. Even better than, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you GDMFer guy. I think he's called Gangsta Preacher online. Racist. This is Kenneth Copeland being confronted by Inside Edition in an all-time ambush interview that makes Copeland look and sound about as fake as it gets.
You said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
No, I do not. And don't you ever say I did.
Don't you ever!
We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers.
Can you explain what you meant by that? Yes. That by that term, then? Yes. Just explain, because it's really simple. You said you didn't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. What did you mean?
Well, let me ask you.
Do you think that people that fly commercial are demons?
If you give me a chance to talk, sweetheart, I'll explain this to you. But it's a biblical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It doesn't have anything to do with people.
No.
People, I love people.
He's just spitballing.
Jesus loves people. But people get pushed in alcohol. Do you think that's a good place for a preacher to be and prepare to go preach to a lot of people when somebody in there is dragging some woman down an aisle? It made me so mad to see that on television. I wanted to punch the guy out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
can't be punching people out while he's getting ready to preach. I love how he's trying to think of an answer here. And he's like, well, there's the alcohol with all the people drinking their $8 mixed cocktails in the back of a flight on United. And then all of a sudden he brings up the flight attendant dragging that one person off of the plane. Like, I would have fought them. That doesn't sound very godly, sir. It doesn't.
Honestly, though, if he was just like, yeah, there's demons on commercial flights, I feel like everyone would be like, yeah.
Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, there are.
Wrong kind of Spirit on that airline, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I've seen the videos. There are also, well, this was, I think this was before the that MF-er is not real.
Mm-hmm.
What if she saw a demon?
She might have. So maybe Kenneth Copeland was on to
maybe
something.
Maybe he was. I'm willing to have an open mind with Kenneth, with this specific instance with Kenneth Copeland.
To be like this preacher for the Houston Astros, to be like Kenneth Copeland, Sean, though, I got to find random proverbs to just throw out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Like how you
to
say.
To throw
like,
people off.
Yeah.
As I think of something else to say.
Wait, so you said you can't fly commercial. Well, yeah, Jesus said that you can't fly commercial.
That's
actually
true. You can't fly at all. It's ungodly to fly. That's why I take an RV, like I'm John Madden. Yeah, I'm curious as to what I'd have to do. Again, like, it does feel like there's a market for just saying things, because Ray Lewis made it work. Like, Ray Lewis, fearless leader. Did he ever say a thing that made any sense? So I think I can do this for the Astros. This is the character we're going to be working on the rest of the week. We do have some comments. Paul's preacher sounds like an angry version of the Southern man you did yesterday.
Yes. There's several times where it just slipped into
into Southern Paul. Another texter says the only thing better than evil evangelical Pastor Paul is a Southern evil angelical Pastor Paul. RSJRDK on Twitch. Paul has printed clerical collar on deck to adore, ordain your events. I got to get a printed collar. I got to find the Pope hat, too. That's the next step. H Rockets 2 says, please don't do the preaching skit again. If you tell me to stop doing something, I'm going to do it more. This is how this show works. This is my love language, is annoying you people. Anyway, speaking of annoying people, I did tease on the other side. The Seattle Mariners are effed. They're just completely screwed going forward. And I think it's time that Astros fans dial it back when it comes to bullying Mariners fans. And I'm a little biased. I do like Mariners fans still. I know that there's a war between Astros fans and Mariners fans, but this is what they got to deal with. Did you hear what their general manager had to say yesterday at a press conference? This is a guy, Jerry DePoto, that I used to have on my radio show once a week. I cannot believe that this guy, who I actually liked when I was in Seattle, did this when asked about some of the comments made by Cal Raleigh, which we played on this show earlier in the week.
If you go back and you look in a decade, those teams that win 54% of the time always wind up in the postseason, and they more often than not wind up in World Series. Now, so there's your bigger picture process. Nobody wants to hear the goal this year is we're going to win 54% of the time, because sometimes 54% is one year you're going to win 60%, another year you're going to win 50%. You know, it's whatever it is, but over time, that type of mindset gets you there. If what you're doing is focusing year to year on what do we have to do to win the World Series this year, you might be one of the teams that's laying in the mud and can't get up for another decade. So we're actually doing the fan base a favor and asking for their patience to win the World Series while we continue to build a sustainably good roster.
So if he doesn't say that one little part towards the end, this is a nothing quote. But he said, we're actually doing the fans a favor. And then worse, he chortled. That was a chortle. That wasn't a laugh. That wasn't a smirk. He chortled. I mean, there's being condescending. There's being defensive. Imagine being condescendingly defensive after your team failed. And Sean, that's where the Mariners are. They're stuck with this guy. So I'm honestly asking you, as a man of the cloth, as a preacher, ordained by a website for $10, I'm asking you to be kind to Mariners fans. They are in their own hell stuck with that guy running the show.
Well, no, you said that they failed. They didn't fail. They won 54% of their games this year. That's a resounding success. They should, you know what? They should thank Jerry DePoto. Hashtag thank you, Jerry. I don't know. I like
no,
this.
You know, Sean.
No, no. There's nothing to make fun of them for. They accomplished their goal.
You're being condescendingly aggressive.
No,
not
I'm
defensive.
Not. No, I'm not. No.
You're explaining them that to these
good
poor
job.
Mariners fans that it actually was a good season.
No, let's go M's. Yeah. 54% of the time. Let's go M's.
Hashtag see us at 54%.
Yeah, see us.
Oh, God.
See us plateau at 54%.
Oh, no.
The sweet spot to win a championship. You know what? What's the Astros winning percentage the last 10 years?
Better than that, I would think. Although, actually.
Yeah, you're counting a couple hundred lost seasons.
You know what? When you put it like that. Look, there's a way to do this. You could do it the way that Jerry DePoto did, or you can do it the way that Cubs team president Jed Hoyer did. This is matter of fact and honest, and it is cliches, and it's a little bit pandery, but this is what a fan base wants to hear.
You can't call something that falls short of your goals a success, so ultimately we have to live with that. I know it'll motivate me all winter, and I know talking to our players and coaches in front office, I know it's going to motivate them.
That's what you're supposed to say. That. Sean's like, I don't know.
No, because you see, he said that they failed. Jerry DePoto said that they succeeded. So would you like to succeed or fail?
I don't want to be told that a failure is success.
Did you not hear 54% over a decade? That's what more can you ask for as a fan base than to win slightly more games than you lose over a decade?
You know what? Fair point. It is a fair point.
Texans fans would kill for that. Are you kidding me? Actually, no, they kind of have.
You know what? Hang on. On the other side, the Houston Texans have broken the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Deshaun Watson's quitting on the Browns already. Paul Gallant Show, stick around. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. All right, guys. If you sign up with promo code BET975, you're going to get a sick deposit bonus. You'll also get a free chip to use in the MyBookie Casino. Say you want to play blackjack or something like that. Guys, there are some wild card baseball games today. And a lot of people are feeling the Minnesota Twins are going to sweep the Toronto Blue Jays today. And I feel like the Twins as 1.5-run favorites, that's a good play today. It's not just because Sonny Gray, one of the Twins' best pitchers, is on the hill, or because of the momentum the Twins might be riding from last night's game, where they didn't have many hits, but they got hits from their big-time prospect, Royce Lewis, 2 home runs. Jose Berrios used to pitch for the Minnesota Twins. He's on the hill for Toronto. I think this is the play. Twins by 1.5 runs, and you can sign up and play at mybookie.ag. The promo code is BET975. You can also bet on Thursday night football, the weekend of football coming up, college football, the NFL. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just plopped down like a little old turd, just right down in a bowl.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
But any changes, or is it still too early?
Regarding changes. Hell yeah, we got to make some changes, man. That was an ugly product we put out there today, and so we're not going to do the same things and hope for a different outcome. What those changes are, man, we'll put together a plan in preparation this week.
Want to give yourself a battle red pants tent? That was Mike Tomlin Sunday after the Steelers were demolished by your Houston Texans 30-6. At his press conference yesterday, Tomlin's going to make you even happier about the Texans, who are riding high.
There were several things that were very disappointing about the game. I think chief among them was the fact that Houston, we thought, were more physical than us and played harder than us. And that's something that's got to change immediately. I felt that in stadium. I expressed that after the game.
They played tougher and more physically than the blue-collar Pittsburgh Steelers, Sean Mapes.
The only thing better would be if he would have been like, and they were really swarming all over the place, much more than we were swarming. Really have to tip your cap to what D'Amico Ryans is doing.
That word is something else. But hey, they are swarming. There was a play on Sunday where they truly did swarm to the ball carrier. I feel like I saw seven guys make contact with the Steelers running back to stop him for no gain. Even funnier, as the Steelers, I think, have been completely broken by the Texans. Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, under fire in Pittsburgh. He was discovered to have a burner account. This was found because somebody found the email address associated with his account, and it used his Steelers team email address. I don't know if it's been 100% confirmed, but a lot are speculating, much like Deshaun Watson had a burner a couple of weeks ago, that this is Matt Canada's burner. Matt Canada called two teams a juggernaut on this account. One of them, the San Francisco 49ers. That makes sense. They're 4-0. The other juggernaut, the Houston Texans. Let's go. Raise a banner. Ring of Honor, D'Amico Ryans. Hell yeah. I'm pumped, baby. Pumped so much that I am just going to shrug my shoulders at this most recent offensive line injury, because we can't go a day without a Texans offensive line injury. Kendrick Green, former Pittsburgh Steeler, suffered a torn meniscus. He's expected to be out indefinitely, per sources. They traded for him to replace Kenyon Green. Kendrick started three games for the Texans. It is unbelievable how unlucky they have been with injuries on the offensive line. Since they have won the last two games, I doubt we will see as many people questioning the Houston Texans training staff. This is fluke stuff that happens over the course of an NFL season. It is unbelievably flukish, though, what's going on in that Texans offensive line room.
Yeah, the fact that all these injuries are concentrated one place, or a little bit was in the defensive backfield, and then it's all, everything else, it's the offensive line, and it's still an offensive line that hasn't given up a sack in the last 2 weeks.
It hasn't. It's made no sense. You would think that they would give up more. They've given up less. C.J. Stroud deserves a lot of credit for that. But the offensive line and Bobby Slowik also deserve just as much credit for somehow making this work.
Yeah, I don't...
Giants gave up 11 sacks on Monday night.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones, he holds onto the football a lot. He stares down his receivers. The Seahawks were sort of laughing about him after the game, about how easy he was to prepare for. Still, like, for a guy who was sacked 11 times the first 2 weeks... that we have seen this the last two, given all the injuries, is nothing short of a miracle.
And that you think, at least for this week or maybe next week, they're going to be getting healthier. They're starting to get the tonsils and the Titus Howards back.
You would think. We'll see.
Although, yes.
I'm not holding my breath.
With Laremy Tunsil, until he's actually on the field, you don't really know if he's going to play. I feel like we thought he was going to play last week, and he didn't play.
So. We did. I'm just assuming they're not out there and that they're somehow going to find a way to make it work. Speaking of injured players, Deshaun Watson, Cleveland Browns quarterback. This is interesting, and I'm just going to read essentially the clips really quickly. What happened with Deshaun Watson on Sunday, he basically told Kevin Stefanski right before the game that he couldn't go, even though on Friday he said he would be able to go. So he lied. He lied to the people of Cleveland. Wow, Deshaun Watson lying?
For the first time ever, he lied.
Man, he stands on his innocence. But he does not stand on his innocence, because he cannot stand on his innocence for saying that he would play on Friday. And Stefanski, it's interesting to note that he said, yeah, Deshaun Watson made the decision to not play, and also compare with David Njoku, who burned his face. He called David Njoku a warrior for playing on Sunday, but Deshaun Watson, who couldn't go, and Stefanski did make sure to say that he does have high pain tolerance. And remember, I mean, when he was with the Texans, he did take a bus to Jacksonville with the busted lung.
But I think it's noteworthy that Stefanski highlighted that Njoku is a Warrior the same week that Deshaun Watson's just pulling himself from the game, essentially at game time against Baltimore.
Do you think that some of it is that the fully guaranteed contract for the next, what, three and a half years? Do you think that plays a factor in Deshaun Watson's decision-making like we see?
Wouldn't it with you?
Yeah, yeah. But like you see with, you know, NBA players with the fully guaranteed contracts, an NFL quarterback with the only NFL quarterback with a fully guaranteed contract is the first one to be like, you know what, I don't feel 100% ready to go. Give the backup a shot.
Maybe fully guaranteed contracts are bad for the fans.
Whoa. Got to keep them hungry.
That's true.
Let the owners pocket that money. That's what Paul's saying. And then ask the taxpayers for filled stadiums.
I believe billionaires should pay for their own bleeping stadiums. I'm Bill Simmons. Two quick stories to wrap things up. Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, said that Desmond Ridder will start on Sunday against the Houston Texans. And Jonathan Taylor, Colts running back, he is back at practice for Indianapolis. He can be activated at any moment. Shane Steichen said he's healthy and super excited to get back to work. That trade market that he may have had at one point doesn't exist anymore because Devon Achane's last name isn't Achane. Interesting that the Aggies couldn't figure that out during his time there. I guess it's something else. Is it Akon? I don't know. I heard it pronounced differently the other day.
I think it's Achane. Achane. No, it's Achan, maybe?
I heard it was something different.
The second syllable is slightly different.
Right. I don't remember it well enough. So, listen, I have a small brain, but the Aggies couldn't figure out what his actual name was the entire time he was there. That's interesting. But the market for Taylor is non-existent because he is averaging, get this, 11.4 yards a carry. That is effing nuts. Nuts!
Yeah, and no team. I mean, it's pretty rare, for a team to be like, you know what, we're running back away from really making some noise. So if it's not going to be Miami, I don't really know who's going to pay that price. You know, teams are going to add a running back here and there, but it's going to be a street free agent, maybe trade like a 6th-round pick for a guy. They're not going to be moving what Indy would want to move Jonathan Taylor for a running back.
Which is a lot, yeah. He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gloss. Why did I say it like that? Coming up next, we are whores for ratings on the Paul Gallant Show. You know exactly what we're talking about next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, Sweet Sassy Molassie, you are going to pay a lot.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
With the standings, we really don't care. It doesn't come to mind to me when you talk about the standings, right? It's just literally one game at a time, one week at a time, right? How are we improving throughout the week? That's our main focus, right? And the outcomes of where the season, where we'll end up, it'll take care of itself if we continue to focus on our preparation.
Oh, yeah. Give it to me, D'Amico. Give it to me. Give me that cliche about how the standings don't matter in October. Focus, baby. One week at a time. On a serious note.
I'd never heard that before. Wait, how many games at a time?
One game at a time. One week at a time. Sean, we can't talk about the games before. The only game to talk about, it's the Atlanta Falcons. On Sunday, that's all we can control. We can only control what's right in front of us. We're only focused on what's right in front of us. And the Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ridder, he's a really good quarterback. Arthur Smith, really good head coach. Atlanta Falcons fans, really loyal fan base. None of those things are being said sarcastically. We respect our opponent. Isn't it kind of funny that when your head coach is doing well,
and the team that he's coaching specifically is doing well, that a coach can say something that has absolutely zero substance behind it, your run-of-the-mill cliche, and you can be like, F yeah, they're focused. That is 100% what is happening right now with me and D'Amico Ryans. And I'll admit it, hearing D'Amico say, yeah, we're not focused on the division right now, that pumps me up. Yeah. It should not.
In some cases, literally the same exact words that he say that he said during training camp that was putting us all to sleep. Now he says those same exact words, and we're like, is this the secret to the Texans' rise to power? Rise to being tied for first and also last in the AFC South, which D'Amico Ryans is not aware of because he's not looking at the standings?
I think you're right. I think that's the way it is, Sean. Even further, so, I mean, the Texans' pass rush was pretty good on Sunday, right? Jonathan Greenard had a couple of sacks. They knocked Kenny Pickett out of the game. They essentially forced the Steelers to quit with like 6 minutes left. This is D'Amico Ryans when asked about the Houston Texans' pass rush.
With our pass rush, we did a solid job this past week, but it's not where we want to be. We have to improve our pass rush and continue to get better at executing when it comes to our four guys rushing together. So we're not where we need to be there just yet, and we'll continue to coach them and get them better.
Let's go! Pass rush was good? No, it was solid. We can do better.
Yeah, gotta keep, you know, keep that carrot in front of these guys.
I'm so excited about this right now, Sean. I have a battle red pants tent, deep steel blue balls. I'm just ready to go because of this team and what they're doing.
That paints a very, very disgusting picture.
What? Well, I have.
You should go to a doctor if the Texans colorway is in your pants.
Listen, I'm sorry I wear colorful pants. You know, a lot of people were criticizing the white pants that I wore, but I also have blue pants, and I have a bunch of deep steel blue colored Texans balls on my mantle at home. What, did you think I was talking about something else? The battle red pants tent that I got at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every now and then I like to cosplay as a Seattleite. I might dress as one for Halloween. Did you think we were playing D'Amico Ryans' audio for ratings, guys? Did you think that was what was going on? We were about to get into something else for ratings. But we do have a thought at 713-780-3776 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. H-Rockets is saying, stop talking about my pants tent. Well, yeah, you can make a tent out of pants. Sometimes you got to improvise. That's what MacGyver would do. Ryan's got a thought on the Texans. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on, Pupstop?
Yo.
Hey, so I've been checked out of the Texans for a while, obviously.
You back?
And I'm wondering, can I buy back in?
Yes.
Should I buy back in, or should I wait for the label change? Yeah, I just want to know.
Thanks. Buy back in. Buy back in now. The stock has probably increased a little bit too much over the last 2 weeks because the Steelers do kind of suck. The Jaguars are kind of overrated, but they're probably going to beat the Falcons on Sunday. And then after that, they play the New Orleans Saints. And I mean, the Saints defense is tough, but they should be 4-2 going into the bye week based off of where we stand right now. So buy back in. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? You're going to be let down by the Houston Texans. They've never done that before, ever. We're horse for ratings at the Paul Gallant Show. We are what we are, okay? Radio is a tough business. We need to get the ratings. Whatever way we can. And I mean, we would be fools if we did not abuse the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift budding romance. And guys, oh my God, did you see on the most recent episode of the Erin Andrews and Clarissa Thompson podcast that Erin Andrews might be the reason that Travis and Taylor are together? Erin, tell us the story. How did you convince Taylor to go out with Travis?
Taylor, I don't know what you are doing in your life right now besides rocking the world. Please try our friend Travis. He is fantastic. This is one, Taylor, I know we're not the best of friends. We're not even friends, but I consider you one. Take us up on this. Go on a date with this guy. Do it for
you
America.
Would have the greatest. Do it. I was just going to say, do it for yourself, do it for us, and do it for the people, because there's no one that would give you a better time than this guy.
Riz Queen. Oh, I'm so excited. And it's so great to see that Aaron Andrews is the one that made this happen. Someone commented in twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's double rods. Taylor Swift makes me like the NFL less. Why? It's bringing more women into watching the NFL. Now you can trick them into watching football if they don't want to actually watch it. I've been on a lot of dates recently with people who don't watch sports altogether. I need to convince them to watch it, because I have to have plausible deniability for when I'm watching football games on Saturday and watching football games on Sunday. And this is a way to get them in and say, like, this is my job. This is what I do on a weekly basis on Sundays. And now you can enjoy it too. It does sound sexist the more I say all of these words.
You want these broads to be interested in some football?
That's your word, not mine.
They'll watch one game a week with they'll watch the Kansas City Chiefs. Because that is my question with this, of like, yeah, they're getting a bigger audience. Are there any Taylor Swift fans that have lived in America their entire life, have never watched NFL football?
Yes.
And no, let me finish. And then they're watching more than just the games that either Taylor Swift is physically at. So if she doesn't go to a Chiefs game, are they tuning in for a Chiefs game? Maybe. If Taylor Swift is not at a Chiefs game, are they tuning in to Texans Falcons? Like, how many viewers is this actually worth outside of literally Travis Kelce?
It's a good question.
I
are they going to flex every single Chiefs game into primetime going forward? Because that's the play. The numbers, Sean, actually indicate that this is in a very crazy way working not just well, it's working crazy well for the NFL.
But for Chiefs games.
Yes.
Can she go to Bears Commanders this Thursday and then those numbers will skyrocket and Al Michaels will want to off himself?
That's what I really want. It's a Thursday night game where Al Michaels is forced to talk about Taylor Swift disgustedly. I'm not sure. You can't tell the queen of pop where to go and what to do. But we're going to continue to milk the Taylor Swift cow here. Did you see what jealous Aaron Rodgers had to say about Travis Kelce on the Pat McAfee show? Is Aaron Rodgers secretly in love with Taylor Swift?
I didn't have a crazy game, and Mr. Pfizer, we kind of shut him down a little bit. He didn't have his like crazy impact game. Obviously, he had some yards and stuff, but I felt like for the most part, we played really tough on defense, especially the last three quarters. And
oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers just called Travis Kelce Mr. Pfizer. Which is a tad ironic, seeing as he signed with the guy who had the terrible vaccine, like the one that was only one shot that had the most problems. Classic Jets, same old Jets, but little ironic. I think it's because Kelce did a commercial for Pfizer. Did he dance around like Jimmy Fallon or something?
No, I think it was just say like, hey, and with the one sleeve rolled up, protect your friends and family.
Damn.
Get a COVID shot.
I can't call him out, because when I was in Seattle, I definitely was a part of some sort of PSA that we had. It wasn't about the vaccine, but it was like, stay inside, stay socially distanced. Like,
alone together with Paul Gallant. Watch on Twitch.
Listen to us talk about a Michael Jordan documentary for 3 weeks, because that was all the content we had to work
I'm
with.
So glad I didn't work
yeah,
in
I wanted
radio.
To die. It was awful.
The early days of the pandemic.
I never got to leave my house. You might get attacked by like an Antifa or by the Seattle police. They'd like,
By the way, talking about Aaron Rodgers, someone who has a lot of ex-celebrity girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a tad bit of him who was like, man, people weren't this excited when I was dating Danica Patrick and Olivia Munn.
And the chick from The Thing.
Yeah, the chick from The Thing,
The Divergent girl.
The what?
The girl from Divergent. I don't know what her name is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's kind of famous.
Yeah, that was
Pretty Little Liars.
That was kind of a big deal.
It was on HBO.
Yeah, but they're like, man, She wasn't the banner for the NFL Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, look, on Sunday Night Football, you had sad cuts of Aaron Rodgers and happy cuts of Taylor Swift. We're not done with the Taylor Swift content. I know we're supposed to go to a commercial break here, Sean, but this is I can't believe this story. I can't believe it.
This
is for real. Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, Kayla Nicole, unfollowed former close friend Brittany Mahomes on social media after the latter was spotted having a girls' night out with Taylor Swift. Nicole also unfollowed Brittany's husband and Kelce's Kansas City Chiefs teammate Patrick Mahomes, as well as his brother Jackson Mahomes. Well, she just unfollowed Jackson. Jesus,
I feel like she was just doing spring cleaning on her on her followers list or following list.
Who keeps track of the followers and the unfollowers? Like, what a loser you have to be.
I have no idea. I have no idea how you do that.
There's got to be a website to do it.
Yeah,
or
like a computer program or something. I don't know. But I want to think that some sad, lonely person like actually manually has to click on and then scroll around.
Speaking of sad, lonely people, Kayla Nicole, Travis Kelce's ex, she's a sad, lonely person. But guess what? Did you know that Brittany, her husband, and her brother-in-law also follow Nicole on the social media? Papa? Several fans were quick to point out to social media this, which came after Brittany and Swift, Kelce's rumored girlfriend, were photographed grabbing dinner with Sophie Turner and Blake Lively on Friday in New York City. Imagine being Brittany Mahomes with that group. How long can you hang in the ring? How long are you going to be able to stave off yourself? Because people are who they are. How long do you think they liked her for? I know that sounds mean. I'm sure that they gave her a chance. But we all saw that picture of her in the suite. She's sitting down. She's looking miserable. Maybe she's miserable because Patrick Mahomes was having a terrible game. It could have been that. How long do you think she thought? How long do you think they thought she's all right before she have inevitably did something like insufferable, like take a TikTok with Jackson Mahomes when they're out at a 5-star dinner? They like jump up on the table. They're just twerking on a champagne glass.
Well, Jackson Mahomes twerking on a champagne glass is much better than what he normally does at restaurants. But I think it was after they order their dinner, but before the dinner actually gets to the table. I think that's when they're like, they all shared a look and they're like, can't believe we actually have to do this. Drag this normal lady around.
Right.
We've all been super famous for 10 years. Why are we hanging out with some quarterback's wife?
What are we doing here? Look, I know we went over the clock.
We did.
And I know that we just talked about something a lot of people don't want to talk about, but we had to do it for the ratings. We had to do it. You know, we're number one for a reason. Not because we're skilled or talented. We do it we're number one because we talk about the things that matter. Like Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend unfollowing Taylor Swift on Instagram. It's the Fog and Lot Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.